of focus.
Now, with NHI due to come into effect sometime next year, people may opt for a new form of healthcare, but until then, private health insurance is alive and well. But have you ever been faced with the challenges of choosing healthcare? First, there's so many schemes that one is pressed to know which one to choose. Then within a specific scheme, there are just so many other options you need to look at. And it can be difficult to determine what is the most suited for you. So we can try and make sense of all the options you have available to yourselves this morning with our guest, Alan Peddle, who's the actuary in charge of research and development at the Discovery Health. Alan, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for
So you're the guy who sits there with all those complicated calculations and make sure that you charge us enough to make a profit and give us health services.
Well, kind of. In the sense that the medical scheme doesn't actually make a profit, so that's perhaps one thing worth pointing out.
Now, I've opened up, and the lines are open. You can join us at any time, but in terms of how difficult it is to pick the right one, why are there so many different options when it comes to medical aid?
Well, Udo, I think the easiest way to understand that is to think that all of us, really, the thing that we most want from medical aid is this idea that it will pay for any type of healthcare expense wherever we go, no matter what the cost. That's what we'd really like. But the numbers show us that that type of thing is really unaffordable and much too expensive to provide. So the reason all the options exist is that medical schemes come up with different methods to manage those costs and try and optimize people's benefits in a way they can get the most bang for their buck, in a sense.
Okay, well, I'm opening up the lines on that on 011-883-0702, Cape Town, 021-446-0567. Are you getting bang for your buck? And are you in a scheme that perhaps you shouldn't be, now that you've actually read the fine print? Speak to us, talk to us about all those issues in our consumer line this morning. Alan, do you realistically need to earn for you to actually have medical aid?
Well, we know that there are products that are available in the market. Perhaps the cheapest medical aid is around 500 rand a person a month. And we know that often if you've got an employer who will subsidize a little bit towards that, we think 3 to 4,000 rand is the absolute minimum earnings a month.
Okay, so that's the level of income that we need to have. And then we also have the distinction between a straight-up hospital plan and a full-on medical aid. Who's suited to which scheme?
Well,
is such a thing?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not nearly as simple as that,
which
is what your point at the beginning. There are many different types of plans. We find hospital plans are a type of medical scheme. There are much more rich benefit plans out there. And there are some plans which give you richer benefits but require you to make use of a particular network. So the difficulty in the choice is a choice between how much cover you want, you're prepared to accept some sort of restrictions on where you go. So the richest plans have rich benefits with no restrictions on where you go, but those are obviously the most expensive.
Mm.
So, you know, your financial situation is probably one of the first points.
011-883-0702, Cape Town, 021-446-0567. Let's go to Lerato in Pretoria. Lerato, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Very well, ma'am. What's on your mind?
I'd like to find out if someone maybe will be able to assist us with this. There are instances where a person will like go to a doctor or hospital and then they get the help that they need. Then 2 months later, 3 months later, a year later, when the person is like relaxed and well and at home, they get a statement saying that they should pay for that doctor. They've probably even forgotten that they went to that doctor. Is that normal procedure? Is that a normal process for medical aid schemes to take or not? Because I think it's unfair, very unfair on us as
client. We're talking about situations where you're going for treatment, you get the treatment, you know you're on medical aid, and then a couple of months later, you get hit with massive bills which you need to pay out of pocket. Lerato just generally wants to know, is that the case with all medical aid?
There are different situations you need to consider. So when you go into hospital, for example, you'll get lots of different medical bills. And this is one of the things that people don't understand. The hospital will bill you. The surgeon might bill you. The anaesthetist might bill you. The pharmacy, the radiology. You could get 5, 7, 8 different bills from a particular hospital event. So what might happen in Lerato's case is that one of those providers, one of the doctors perhaps, had a particular style where they submit the invoices directly to the patient. And then it's really up to where and how the doctor submits their bills. So it does happen. It certainly happens quite frequently. The hospital usually send the bills directly to the medical scheme. Many doctors do, but not all.
Okay. Yeah. I suppose one issue that is critically important, especially where people go to the doctors fairly regularly, want to have their teeth cleaned, need sort of an optometrist to deal with their eyes and so forth across the family, is that issue of savings.
Mm.
Yeah. How important is it, and how flexible are schemes when it comes to the amount of savings you can have and that you can accrue with your medical aid?
Yeah, okay. So the Medical Schemes Act requires that there's a fixed amount of savings in your plan. It can vary from one plan to another, but each plan has a regulated amount of savings.
Mm.
So you can't really choose how much to put in or out other than choosing another plan. It's very important, we find, for people to have that saving so that they can exercise some kind of control over their benefits from year to year. But there are obviously some other options. You might choose a plan with no savings, for example.
Okay, let's go to Mira in Joburg. Mira, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Ken. I'd like to know, you know, there's a friend of mine who, since 93, she's got a hospital plan and with a company, and she hasn't been ill or anything. And after so many years, last month, she had a problem. You know, she got cataract. And they said, no, they cannot pay. They only pay 7%. So what is the hospital plan then for?
Okay, Mira and Joburg.
I think, you know, once again, I don't know which particular plan you were necessarily on or your friend was on. Once again, I think if you look through the benefit brochures, it'll be quite clear in terms of what's covered and what's not covered. And there'll be a coverage line which covers cataracts, I presume. So a hospital plan, I mean, as with all of these things, I think it's important to actually have a look at the product that you've bought, which will describe line for line what types of things are covered and what are not. I'm more specific than that without knowing the details of the plan, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay, and also very important to look at, in that brochure, the limitations on various things that you're going to go through in a hospital.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an extreme example. So most medical schemes won't cover cosmetic surgery. So even though it's done in a hospital, a hospital plan won't cover cosmetic surgery, as an example. So it is important to be quite clear on what's in the rules and what's not.
Okay. Somebody on SMS wants to know, they don't believe that medical aids don't make a profit. How does Discovery, for instance, sponsor major sporting events if they're not making a profit? Maybe just explain to us on
that. Okay, I'll give a very short overview. So Discovery Holdings is a company which runs Discovery Life, Discovery Vitality, and many other companies. Discovery administers the Discovery Health Medical Scheme. Now, the medical scheme belongs to all of its members, and it collects premiums which go into a central pot. It pays Discovery Health some money to look after the scheme, but then if it doesn't pay a claim or it does pay a claim, that money comes out of itself, and medical schemes don't make profits. They're a non-for-profit organization.
16 minutes after 11, we'll take all your medical aid questions after the break.
You've got what it takes to grow your business, but you could use the support to take it to the next level. We want to know about it.
This business has grown massively in a very short period of time, and I'm a one-man show. The biggest problem we've had recently is putting systems and procedures in place.
702 Business Accelerator with NetBank. Get to 702.co.za, and we could be giving you the support you need.
So the way that we're going to go about doing this, what do you want the business to be? Demonstrate your expertise. Demonstrate insights that you've had. I think you could grow this business into a really exciting direction.
702 Business Accelerator with NetBank. Take it to the next level, only on Talk Radio 702.
The city of Joburg is in the spotlight this week on Talk Radio 702. In the previous financial year, the city supplied more than 3,300 homes with electricity.